Hari
Om
Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamal Vidvishava Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, start again with this, with the greeting. Every object, Vishaya, has a dharma. That dharma is not separate from the object. Swadharma, or inherent quality of the soul, is priti, or love. Other synonyms for dharma are shakti, energy, guna, quality, prakriti, nature, and vritti, character. The only way of knowing the object is through its dharma. The fire itself cannot be known. The dharma of the fire is that it burns, heats, and lights. Through the dharma of fire, the object is known. A person may say that only the qualities exist and not the object, but the fault of that objection is that several qualities cannot conjoin without a common support. If that is the case, then not to accept the object will not satisfy either common sense or knowledge, right? So in other words, if we're only accepting the qualities that it has of dharma, then the problem is how is it manifest? How is it seen? Right? Because then the idea is that if you have on the transcendental platform, then you have the qualities may be there, but there's no object. Right? That's the impersonal concept. Mm-hmm. But even there, the qualities, they'll say there's no qualities, but then they'll give a list of qualities, right? You know, unlimited, immutable, can't be known, can't be seen, can't, you know, all this, but these are all qualities, mm-hmm. right? So those cannot be known without an object, right? The fire, without heat, light, and what is it, what did it give you? It burns, heats, and lights. Mm-hmm. Without that, you don't know it's fire. Mm-hmm. You know? Is that, yes.
I've been in discussions where people have claimed, why not? I mean,
why not what?
Why can't qualities just be conjoined without an object? You know, why can't I just be the sum total of the chemicals in my brain?
But how would that work?
Yeah.
I'm saying the point is you can say anything. I can say, yes. You know, you could have purple hippopotamuses, you know, in pink tutus dancing with crocodiles also.
Yeah.
But the only way that came into being was that the guy who came up with it was taking cocaine. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen. Mm. So the thing is that's what the dream state is. Mm. Ignorance means, why not?
Yeah.
You know? It means anything I can think of. You know, I'm the lord of my destiny, this and that. You're not. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. That's the problem, is that we think so much of ourselves due to ignorance, therefore we come up with all these strange kind of stuff.
It's just extremely close to impossible to get through to people who are...
Yeah, so then that's those kind of persons. You give them prasad, you know, get them chanting Hare Krishna, and be happy. The point is there has to be some kind of practical working intelligence to be able to discuss philosophy.
That's good, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because you'll find that those people generally who are very practical in the world, you can discuss the philosophy more. Mm. Their ego, this, that, it's an area they may not have gotten into, so they're a little bit wary of it, but The thing is you can discuss it at some point. If you behave nicely enough and you spend the time, you'll get through. But those who will be too much in ignorance, then the other way is that, yeah, maybe not, but also maybe it could. Mm. Just as maybe not is a possibility, maybe it could is also a possibility. Right? So for right now, just for fun, let's take the maybe it could part. You know, because maybe it could not is that give an example of the qualities coming together without an object to know it. Mm. Give an example. Mm. They can't. Mm.
Yeah.
That's the point. So since that one, we can't give an example now, you know, for whatever reason, we're not elevated enough, this, that, or whatever. Mm. But let's discuss the one that we can deal with.
Yeah.
Right? Because the point is what's being gotten at is the masculine-feminine principle. You can't separate one from the other. They're two distinct things that you can't separate. Mm. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, Krishna's position and the qualities like that, they can't function without each other. Like that. The Dharma of objects has three states: dormant, evident, and perverted. On striking a match, fire appears. Fire exhibits three energies: light, heat, and burning power. Simultaneously, fire is cognized. Before appearing, the energies or qualities are dormant. After appearing, they are evident. On making their appearance, the energies may take a healthy or perverted state, depending on the conditions. If fire contacts wood, all the dharmas are nourished and exhibit themselves fully. In contact with some other items, the fire may burn but not give light, or the fire may give light but may not burn. The state of giving light is perverted. Every object has its essential quality of dharma. And by various sub-characteristics, vritti, the dharma manifests. When the essential dharma manifests through one vritti, but becomes perverted, all the other vrittis take a perverted form. There is thus a perversion of the dharma. When the dharma, right, so that was, remember when you had what was the Upa? I don't remember what their name was, but they were two brothers. And the two brothers, and the two brothers, then when Drona was the object. Drupad. When Drupad wanted to get a yajna done to get a son that could kill Drona, then he went to these two brothers who are, you know, priests, because he heard that they're highly qualified, right? And he went to the younger one, who was more qualified, because he figured he'll have him as the priest. But he said, this is, you know, too mundane for me. I'm not getting involved, right? But then Drupad then stayed and personally served him and did that, I think, for a year. And after a year, he says, well, what you can do is go to my brother. He says, once I saw him as he was walking, and that he just picked up a fruit, and without looking at it, he ate it. Right? Because that's one of the rules in Dharma Shastras. You can't just pick up a fruit and eat it. You have to look at it. Because bugs may have eaten it. It may fall in an impure place. So many things. Somebody may have already taken a bite out of it. You know? You have to be able to check all this. But he said he didn't. So if there's impurity in that place, there's most likely impurity in the other. That's based on this principle. If one part of the dharma is perverted, the other parts might be also. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So then from that, then he went to the brother and he said, if my brother goes, because we always do everything together, if he goes and he's your priest, then it's all a system. He says, but I'm not going to be the priest. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. And when it finds its object, it becomes evident. When it finds an unsuitable object, it becomes perverted. Right? We see the same thing in the body. You have the mucus, bile, and air. So if one of them becomes off, it can affect the others. Right? Three things are necessary for full manifestation of dharma. The thing in which the dharma inheres is called the ashraya, or shelter. Dharma itself is called the vritti, or the quality. That to which nourishes the vritti is the vishaya. Yes.
Dharma means quality, means how quality can find it is an unsuitable object. Like if we have face, for example, or something that is not correct.
Yeah, that would be one. Means, in other words, that faith, it's not the proper place. Because here it's mentioning you have to have three things, right? What the Dharma is within is ashraya. The Dharma itself is the vritti, into which nourishes it is called the vishaya. Right? So if without suitable ashraya, vritti, and vishaya, the result is ineffective. In proportion to the lack or fault in these three items, the effect will be faulty. And the three factors have such a relation that by mutual purity there is mutual progress. If the vritti is pure, then it makes the ashraya pure. If the ashraya is pure, then the vritti is naturally pure. If the vishaya is pure, the vritti becomes pure and the ashraya is nourished. Thus these three items, subject, quality, and object, are interdependent. Is that the end of the?
Yeah. No, it goes on to the bliss, love, and attraction.
All right.
Oh, okay. Okay, subject, quality, and object. Because whatever you're dealing with, you're always dealing with subject and object. Right? So here then the quality, guna, is the quality. The Dharma itself, the vritti, what did it say before, the characteristics. Every object has its essential quality or Dharma by various sub-characteristics. Vritti, the Dharma manifests. Okay, so then you have the object, you have the subject, you have the object, and you have how they're interacted, how they connect, right? So then that's the action itself. Bliss, love, and attraction being the inherent qualities of the soul are the real nature of the soul. In the liberated state, this nature is without suffering, pure and undisturbed. And in the conditioned state, this Dharma is perverted. Okay, amen. That's the other thing. When you're going into rasa, then you have the vishaya. You have the ashraya and vishaya of the rasa itself. I think that will come up later, right? Sorry? Who in the rasa dance is ashraya and who's vishaya?
Yeah,
okay, just throwing it out. Okay, so Krishna is the vishaya, and ashraya is the gopis. Right? So the gopis, they're the ashraya of conjugal love for Krishna. Means, in other words, it takes shelter there. That's where you can see that manifestation. But then what inspires that manifestation is Krishna. He's the vishaya. Right? And then there's going to be the nature by which they interact. So that nature, if it's correct, then the whole thing will be nourished properly. Right? Like if it's proper, then it'll be rasa. If it's not proper, it'll be rasa bhas. Like Rupa Goswami gives the example of the gopi who says, "All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead," and then hugs Krishna. It's kind of like, what's this got to do with each other? You know? Does that make sense? You know, because the one you would deal in one way, the other in the other. Right? Does that make sense? So this kind of thing, when we're talking about it, the Dharma, it's going to go back into rasa, the actual relationship that the living entity has with the Supreme Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So he is the ashraya of that love for Krishna. If that ashraya, that love is perverted, then that means his understanding or dealings of Krishna as the vishaya will be wrong. Does that make sense? Or you have a nice attitude with Krishna, but how you express that is wrong. You know, like we were discussing in the morning, is that you have some particular facilities that you're used to living with, and then you use them for Krishna, but as you become purified, is it natural or not natural to improve those qualities of what you have to use for Krishna, because you know Krishna likes a higher grade quality things than what you're using at present. Right? Does that make sense? So as long as for you it's normal and it's nice, then it goes on. But as soon as you start to actually be able to see that it's not, then you should improve the quality of it. Right? You shouldn't just be attached and argue, no, no, it's fine. Does that make sense? Because if one's off, it throws the others off, because all three work together. Yes.
Is this, does the Rasabhasa
only
apply in the spiritual world?
Because no, it applies here.
Oh. Because I always do, like I sometimes talk to Krishna like he's my friend, and sometimes like I'm serving him, like, you know, or reverence, and sometimes like he's my dad. I depends what, so is that not okay?
The point is connect to Krishna, you know, but then that's why there's also, means you have two elements that are mentioned in the Pancharatra. You have the stava. Yeah. I can't remember it. But stuti and stava. That's it. It's funny. I couldn't remember stuti. So then, one of them means the prayers of the acharyas. The other means your own heartfelt prayers. So in other words, by seeing the prayers of the acharyas, then we learn how we should be offering prayers ourselves. The other item is heartfelt means you're feeling that, so therefore that's why you're dealing in that way. Does that make sense? The other one you're doing because it's proper. You're going through you're going through that. You're trying to feel like that, or because you know it's good, you're saying that it pleases Krishna. The idea is that you should have that realization that this is how you want to pray. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then the point is you pray to Krishna, but also see how do the acharyas pray. Then it'll become clear that there is a...
So anything very solid, but from what I remember, Bhakti Vinod even prays like in different moods. He hasn't just got one single mood.
No, but you have to understand is that you may have variety within one mood. There's no such thing as different moods. Does that make sense?
So what? So he's a Manjari, right? So that's how he's praying.
But the thing is you have to see how that's applied. See, because the point is that we're servant of Krishna. That's the main point. Like that. What one's particular rasa is, that's a detail.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So the principle of what's going on there is not going to change. You know what I'm saying? Because all glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's in the awe and reverence. So that will bring it into the Dwarka category. And then he, as a gopi, then she has a paramour relationship with Krishna and the conjugal rasa. So those two realms don't match. It's not a problem. He's in Dwarka, then they understand he's the Supreme Lord, but at the same time they have conjugal, but they're married. You know what I'm saying? So those two won't go together. But it's not that you don't have conjugal rasa in Dwarka. Right?
Okay.
Do you understand?
Okay.
So it's part of the same thing. While those are two different realms, they don't match. That's why it's rasa vas.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. That's why it says one follows in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. You see, how do they pray? What do they do? Because that works. Does that make sense? So it's not a matter of that there's variety, it's how is there variety. You know what I'm saying? Just like, okay, the girl likes variety, right? It's the nature. You know, so the guy one day takes her out to the 5-star restaurant, the next day takes her out to the little diner, the greasy spoon around the corner where all the truckies go. It's variety, right? Do you understand? It's got to match the variety, right? Does that make sense? Right? Yeah, now if she drives a truck, you know, like that, and that's her favorite stop, then hey, yeah, okay, then cool. But if she's not driving a truck, then it's not going to fly. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Mars, wasn't there an example of some group of animals and then another species of animal takes shelter there, and then after some time it's like hanging out with them, and then after some time then it sees like other ones that are just like it, and then it goes off with them, so that's like your dormant, you know, like tiger with dogs or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I had coquilles do that.
And then they see, oh, I'm not one of these, I'm one of those, so that's a dormant.
Yeah, or you can say that it's what is it? Evident, but it's in a perverted state. Right? Like that. In the liberated state, this nature is without suffering, pure and undisturbed. And in the conditioned state, this dharma is perverted. The nature of the soul in the material world is not his real identity, but a relative identity. In the successive stages of human culture, from a moral, and quasi-theistic moral life, I like that.
Yeah.
This dharma is perverted in form. Right? Does that make sense? So it's perverted at these points. Mm-hmm. Amoral, moral, and quasi-theistic moral. Right? Because it's only actually moral if it's in connection with the Lord. Right? This dharma is perverted in form in successive degrees. Directed in the opposite direction, the dharma takes a very distorted form. This is actually not called one's dharma, but vidharma, unnatural. Okay. Footnote 3. When one's mind and senses are attracted to sense objects for enjoyment, the mind becomes agitated. As a result of continual thinking of sense objects, one's real consciousness becomes almost lost, like the water in a lake that is gradually sucked up by the big grass straws on its bank. When one deviates from his original consciousness, he loses the capacity to remember his previous position or recognize his present one. When remembrance is lost, all knowledge acquired is based on a false foundation. When this occurs, learned scholars consider that the soul is lost. There is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. For human society, constantly thinking of how to earn money and apply it for sense gratification bring about the destruction of everyone's interests. When one becomes devoid of knowledge and devotional service, he enters into species of life like those of trees and stones. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-30-33. Just wondering what's happening now. That there would be something. So much music. No puja coming up.
Ganga Sankranti.
Oh, Makara Sankranti. That's tomorrow.
Sound seeking missiles are still in research.
Yeah, no, that would be good.
Maybe it's you who's wrong with the spirit celebration.
Could be. Possible.
So the date is tomorrow for the Ganga Sagama.
Sorry?
The date is tomorrow.
Yeah. Today is Sankranti. No, it means they have it's going. That means people come. But the main bath will be tomorrow.
Maybe.
In the Amora life, eating, sleeping, sex, animal activities are the person's only joy. Moralists call this Vaidharma. However, the moralists themselves are attracted to the same things, but superficially they follow a few rules. this is from Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Those of a moral life are like low animals, and those of moral life are like superior animals. This is because in both cases, the real identity of the soul has taken a very distorted form. Those who accept moral life along with genuine faith in the Lord subordinate their material attachments to thoughts of God. In this case, the soul's dharma begins to give up its perverse form. In the person practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, the real identity of the soul reveals itself to a large extent. In the Bhava Bhakta, it is fully revealed. Chaitanya Shikshamrita, 5.3, page 176. Oh, this is running in line, okay. Yeah. So that's the point, is that... Now we have the kirtan. Is that from the temple?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Doesn't make very large, extremely large sound counseling headphones. You know, like for the whole building. Text 3. Atma Prakriti Vaichitriyad Dadati Chiram Uttaram Swasurupam Stito Hyatma Dadati Yuktam Uttaram. Because of their different natures, they who ask these questions attain a great variety of answers. That means, who am I, what am I supposed to do, all these things. Only a soul situated in its original spiritual form attains the true answers. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. A person who has turned away from the world of sense objects finds an answer to these three questions. Snicky, now the jackals are starting.
Yeah.
So everybody's having their turn. Okay, a person who has turned away from the world of sense objects finds an answer to these three questions. Scriptures and philosophies attempt to answer these three questions. In our country, answers are given by the Vedas, Vedanta, and other books follow the Vedic teachings. Answers are also given by philosophies that misinterpret the Vedic teachings. Philosophies like Nyaya, Pseudo-Shankhya, Patanjali, Vaisheshika, and Karma Mimamsa. Footnote 4. There's no doubt that philosophical literature originated in India. Although there are many kinds of philosophies, they are grossly divided into six categories. These six categories of philosophy are known in India as Saddarshana. These six philosophies are also widely respected in Greece. Through intensive research, who was a professor in Greece, has ascertained that Aristotle was the disciple of Gotama's philosophy of Nyaya. Thales was the disciple of Kanada's philosophy of Vaisheshika. Socrates was the disciple of Jaimini's Mimamsa. Plato was the disciple of Vyasadeva's Vedanta. Pythagoras was the disciple of Kapila's Shankhya. And Zeno was the disciple of Patanjali Yoga. Sajantoshini was 111, means page or?
Article or issue?
Issue.
It's a magazine.
Oh, okay. 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 So he's pointing out is that the living entity is looking for these answers. And so then he's going to take shelter. The question is what's on two. Yeah, who am I? What is this world? What relationship have I with this world? Those are the three questions. Because it's all about sambandha gyan means relationship. What's the relationship? But to know that, you have to know who you are and who are anything else or anybody else. So myself, who's myself? What's the material nature? What's my relationship? Okay. Because in that, even if you take that, because that's what people will see. Point is, material energy is not just there on its own. It comes from God. Right? And my relationship with the material energy is not actually real. I don't have any because of my relationship with God. What's my actual nature? So if you start at any of this, then you're going to get back to the original truth. So the point is he's making is that some find their way back to that original truth, but some don't. They take up a misdirected interpretation. Right? So that's how you get the six schools. And he's saying that even in the Greeks, then they were following these six schools. Right? And because otherwise it's like there's the Greeks coming out of nowhere. Right? They don't even know. It means if the history, it just says, you know, there's the Aegean Sea there, and then there's the kind of land around that. And people came from another place and just settled there. You know, it's always from this place that's kind of like northeast. It's always northeast. You know what I'm saying? The Germanic tribes came from the northeast. Everybody came from the north. Where is this northeast? You know, like that. But Lucy didn't. She came from south.
Who's Lucy?
Who's Lucy? You don't know Lucy?
I don't know Lucy.
Come on. You don't know Lucy?
I don't know. How should I know Lucy?
What do you mean? Of course you should know.
Everybody knows Lucy.
Everybody knows who Lucy is?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. She's like the original Australian Thomas.
Yeah, she's supposed to be the one that was one day the monkeys gave birth to her. And then they all go, who is this?
That's Lucy.
That's Lucy, okay. Yeah, like that.
She came from the south, yeah.
Yeah, from the south. Yeah. But then somehow or another, they walked up north to the northeast.
And then,
everything started from there. Yeah. So then it comes into there. And they already have their philosophies, their lifestyle, everything like that. So where did it come from? They don't know. And then you had some people from there move over to Italy, right? You know, starts the Rome thing. And then these people from also that northeast again come in. And then influence and all that. So it's very scientific.
Special, yeah.
Yeah, very scientific, this whole thing. So the whole idea is that there's connections that they make, they study from there, because otherwise it's not coming out of their own. It's not saying they made it up themselves. Right? So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out is that the six darshans in a rough group, then these are the natural six kinds of perverted ideas that one will have about philosophy. Right? Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now you come in contact with, you know, the bona fide Vaishnavas, then you get the proper understanding. But if you don't, you're going to end up in one of these six major categories. Right? And you may, you know, of course, pick a little from each, right?
Of course.
Yeah. You know,
I'm special.
Smorgasbord,
yes.
Right? You know, like that. Okay. Answers are also given by philosophies that openly oppose the Vedic teachings. Philosophies like Buddhism and the philosophy of the atheist Charvaka. In this way, many philosophies give many different answers. Footnote 5. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, by the influence of time, the transcendental sound of Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke the Vedic knowledge to Brahma, because I myself am the religious principles enunciated in the Vedas. Right? It means the Vedas are talking, the religious principles talked about in the Vedas are the Lord, so he is the religious principles. So whatever he speaks, that's the religious principle. So what he speaks are the Veda, and the Veda is describing him.
Yeah.
Right? So there's not a problem. One could say he might have a monopoly on all this,
yeah.
But you know, that's kind of his position.
Maharaj, speaking the Vedas to Lord Brahma, is that once at the beginning of his life, or is that a daily affair?
At the beginning. At the beginning. It's not that they don't discuss this then for the rest of his life, because the thousand-headed Vishnu stays with him. You know, that means that they means because he's coming from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So that universal form of Virat, he stays with Brahma. And so, you know, they might sit around and discuss like that.
There's a lot of heads there.
Yeah, no. But that you could say is, hey, there's a lot of heads here. You know, they just.
You consider yourself relative?
Huh? Relative? Yeah, basically. That's his father. You know? Okay. Yeah. In China, Greece. Oh, no, we were on the. Lord Brahma spoke this Vedic knowledge to his eldest son, Manu, and the seven great sages, headed by Bhrigu Muni, then accepted the same knowledge from Manu. Oh, okay. So this is then why also you call it Manu Samhita. Because this is what Bhrigu is speaking, but this would have been the knowledge given to him by Manu. And he got it from Manu, who is his father, who got it from Manu, who is Lord Vishnu. From the forefathers headed by Bhrigu Muni and other sons of Brahma appeared many children and descendants who assumed different forms as demigods, demons, human beings, Guhyakas, Siddhas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, Kindevas, Kinaras, Nagas, Kimpurushas, and so on. All of the many universal species, along with their respective leaders, appeared with different natures and desires generated from the three modes of material nature. Therefore, yeah, so the species with their respective leaders. The leaders are the sadhyas, right, that they always talk about. Therefore, because of the different characteristics of the living entities within the universe, there are a great many Vedic rituals, mantras, and rewards. Thus, due to the great variety of desires and natures among human beings, there are many different theistic philosophies of life, which are handed down through tradition, custom, and disciplic succession. There are other teachers who directly support atheistic viewpoints. Srimad Bhagavatam 14:3-8. So this would be Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Okay. In China, Greece, Persia, France, England, Germany, Italy, and other countries, many different philosophies were preached. Philosophies like materialism, positivism, secularism, pessimism, skepticism, pantheism, and atheism. Many philosophies used logic to prove the existence of God. Then again, in other places, was preached the idea that one should simply believe in God and worship Him. In many places were preached religions that claimed to be originally given by God. Some religions were rooted in each person's own individual faith in God. In other places, it was said that God Himself had given the teachings of religion. Religion rooted in each person's own individual faith is called theism. Included among the religions with belief systems and scriptures given by God are Christianity and Mohammedanism. Didn't make it, huh? The answers of the previously mentioned three questions were truly of two kinds. Okay, so now these three previous questions, who am I, what's the universe, what's my relationship, right? Then he's saying that the answers are basically of two kinds, right? One, the answer given by a soul situated in his original form, and two, the great variety of answers given by all others, right? So in other words, if you ask this question, then someone from the spiritual world, all of them there will give you the same answer, right? That we're servant of God, you know, Vishnu is supreme and we're his servant, right? And then you have the answers given by the conditioned living entities, which is a multiplicity, right? Why is not a single answer only given to each of these questions? The true answers are given by a pure person situated in his original spiritual form. Because it says, in that place, this, one's omniscient, one understands. So that one's not blocked by the material energy. So there's not a problem there. But for those who are covered, then depending how they're covered, that's how their philosophy will be. All persons situated in their original spiritual form give the same answers. However, the persons who have fallen into the material world are not situated in their original spiritual forms. The material world is not their real home. It is a world born from material illusion. The Supreme Truth, Paratattva, has a spiritual potency, Parashakti. The shadow of that spiritual potency is the potency of illusion, Maya Shakti. So the Supreme Lord is there, and so those who are in their original spiritual form, they'll work under the Parashakti. So they'll all give the same answer. But those who are under the reflection of that, then they are under this Apara Shakti or Maya Shakti. Then they all give different answers. Like that. Yes?
You use the example sometimes that devotees are made by the new bhakta in the temple. So can we say that the true answers are also given by those repeating the words of those situated in their group?
Yes, yes. But the point is it's either coming down from those who are situated in their original form, or it's made up by those who don't. Even if it's given, even you take it, okay, it's given by God, or it's this and that, but the problem is they're taking it and interpreting it according to their local needs. Does that make sense? You know, it's like you would not have been able to, beginning of all these, it mentions Christianity and Mohammedism, beginning of that, you wouldn't have been able to tell the patriarch there, Shukta Shakari Baji Nalita Kushmanda Dali Dalna Dugda Tumi Dadi Mocha Kanda. He says, we got sheep. that's what we got, like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be adjusted according to the local mentality. No? Yeah. Oh. Maya Shakti is the mother of the material world. The great variety of qualities Maya offers are accepted by the souls residing in the material world as their own qualities, right? Because they identify with it. So in other words, she has her qualities by which she's manifesting everything. And then the living entities, they unfortunately think, I am this, right? Not I am that, right? In this way, the soul's original qualities are withdrawn, and the specific mixture of qualities and an identity offered by Maya are accepted by the soul. Right? Specific mixture. Right? So this is going to give rise to why this is explained, because this is explaining why there's different philosophies. Because we'll say, no, but they're all philosophies, they're all, how do we know which one's right? But that's saying is that, we aren't identifying their basis. But their basis is the modes of nature. So depending if it's a higher mode, it'll be a higher form. Lower mode, lower form. Or however it's mixed. But the point is if it's not originating in the spiritual world, then it's going to have issues. Right?
So we're going back to that initial discussion of Dharma, right? We've applied it in the wrong place. Then
yes. So yeah. It means if it's applied in the spiritual world, it comes out, it's manifestation. What's he uses that word? What is the word? Not manifestation, because it's hard to say. The manifest manifestation. No, it was just a evident, dormant, evident, and perverted. Evident just means that it can be perceived. So if it's when the evidence is there, if it's from the spiritual world, that means that ashraya is in that nice, that proper place, then it all develops nicely. Because the vishaya is Krishna, the ashraya is the spiritual environment, and so therefore we can take part in that. But when it's within the material world, then it's all wrong. So there's always going to be problem. But it's like the same machine. But what you put in the machine, that's going to make some difference.
The material world The Vishaya, presumably with the Purusha Bhava, will be the living entity.
Basically.
And that doesn't work because he's not.
Because he's not, yeah, of course. But then you'll apply that within everything within the world, because the Ashray means the feminine aspect, the Vishaya means the masculine aspect. Right. So then wherever that's being applied, then it will function like that. But that's why one thinks, I'm the center of attention, so therefore how I think is how everybody should respond. But the point is it's the other way, is that the masculine is how they deal with me is how I respond. You understand? That's why the problem comes up. Krishna is... what is the particular love of the devotee? That's what all reciprocates. So Mother Jashoda sees him as her child, so he responds as her child. Right? Does that make sense? The cowherd boys see him as their friend, he responds as their friend. But here it is, we have our idea how everybody should act and behave, and if they don't, I get upset. Right? Because even though I'm claiming to be the Vishaya, I still act as the Ashraya. Does that make sense? Right, so I have my idea how they should behave. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In marital relationships, that's such a big problem.
That is the problem. You know what I'm saying? It's that one has to understand all these things, because we're saying, when we say the mechanics apply everywhere, it applies in all things. So one can understand it in the philosophy, one can understand it in the culture. Right? So that's the idea, is to know both. Because if you know one or the other, there'll be a problem. Prabhupada says, if you know it in the philosophy, but not in the culture, it'll be mental speculation. Because where's the object for it to manifest? So it could be this, it could be that, you know, you don't know what it is. If it's the other, you have the philosophy, I mean the culture, but not the philosophy, then it's just sentiment. You know, this is how we've done it, we've always done it like this and everything. So then it has a problem. So that's why there has to be both. You have to have the philosophy and the culture. And then show how the one functions in the other. Right? So then it's complete. Then you have the Lord and his energies. You know, the energies are dependent on the Lord. The Lord is manifest or made evident through his energies. Right. Okay. Okay, the great variety of qualities Maya offers are accepted by the souls residing in the material world as their own qualities. In this way, the soul's original qualities are withdrawn, and the specific mixture of qualities and an identity offered by Maya are accepted by the soul. In this way, the spirit soul identifies with matter. Spiritual and material ideas thus become mixed together in many different ways in the mind of the spirit soul, right? Because his natural qualities have been withdrawn, and they're covered by something else. So therefore you get, depending on what's covered, how it's covered, then you get these different mixes of the spiritual and the material. So it won't be clear, because those who are liberated, it'll always be clear. So they'll always give the same answer. But here, then they'll give all kinds of answers.
Like putting a colored glass.
Yeah, putting a colored glass. Like, what do you call it? Looking through a kaleidoscope or something. Like that. Each accepting a different mixture of material qualities, the spirit soul is misidentifying with matter. Each gives his own answers to these three questions. In this way, a great variety of answers is manifest. Influenced by the traditions, activities, associates, foods, language, and thought patterns of the country where they live, the souls in this world give answers to these three questions. Right? So, 'cause someone will say they're giving a universal, but no, it's exactly from wherever is the, you know, all these things.
So,
right?
Yeah. So if they are pretty straight up with that, yes, we're from Denmark, it's cold, it's dark, so you can take your banana plates, we want porcelain and beer. Then how to convince...
Why porcelain?
They don't have banana palm trees.
What about wooden plates? Wouldn't that be more ethnic?
They probably have the most.
Or at least go with pewter.
Yeah.
Porcelain, that's Chinese.
Yeah,
actually.
I know.
You know, so if we're importing from China, why can't it mean that's so far away. India's a lot closer.
Yeah.
You know, so why can't we import something from there?
That's true.
You know. Otherwise stick to pewter or wood. You know, like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you know, be consistent.
Yeah.
And the point is yes, but then the point is that's not the soul. So the point is what is the answer to this? The answer is not that I'm these things or these traditions and everything. I'm the spirit soul. So that means I'm servant of God. So servant of God, I'm supposed to engage everything in God's service. So then, you know, maybe I have porcelain plates. So, you know, I have to use that. Does that make sense? Yes.
We also take from this that people in general are already attached to the particular kind of food and activities. And then they make up a philosophy in order to accommodate that.
Yes. No, that's the way it works. Because otherwise, what's the cause of their coming up with this philosophy? Right? You know, in other words, the philosopher is very comfortable with his own lifestyle and what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, depending upon who it is, others are not necessarily comfortable. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? Like that, yeah.
All right. Many would consider themselves not comfortable with the Vedic.
Not comfortable with the Vedic because it does kind of talk about the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
It doesn't really function in passion or ignorance. You know, but even you bring out that it's more passion or ignorance, they're only going to like the particular passion or ignorance of their particular place. You know what I'm saying?
But if you bring that out towards those...
You know what I'm saying? It's just like what we were saying, is that you have this map. That means this, a map, a world map, right? And you have, you know, how you say, you have Wall Street, you know, Canal Street and all that. And then you get up there to Harlem and other things like that. And then there's, you know, a little farther, there's Chicago. And then over there's Los Angeles, you know, Tokyo. You know, kind of like that, you know, it's kind of...
That's how it looks,
yeah. Yeah, that's what it looks like, right? You know, so the problem is that say what anybody likes, they're still going to function according to that place.
Mm-hmm. And then they would say, of course. I mean, so many. That's why we have so many philosophies.
No, but the point is the person who says, of course, is going to be more open than that. You know what I'm saying? Of course, okay. So that means what I'm saying is based on this, someone else is based on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're making the point, it's not anything of this world, it's what's coming from the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're saying it's not India, it's what's coming from the spiritual world. To say it's India, then you're trying to bring the philosophy of the spiritual world down to the level of the material world. Because then we can argue which is better. But then even you're going to do, then there is the actuality of the modes of nature. So something situated in goodness is going to be of a better state than something in passion or ignorance.
And then
right? But then the thing, well, we don't accept that. Then what is the basis? If it's only what you perceive with your senses, how good are your senses?
Mm.
So therefore, people with superior senses, they should be leading the world.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah,
and then there are people who say that. It's just the senses, the skin should be very light and the eyes should be a little bluish. Right? You know? And the hair should be kind of blondish. They have the best senses to perceive the world. You know? So the point is the material doesn't work well when one does like that. There has to be an authority.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yes, well, it's your opinion, this and that. So then just go back to your thing. Don't get into anything. Be happy in your little niche. Don't worry about the rest of the world. Right, because if that's the way it is, then each thing works in its own place. So great, go back to your little cafe and be happy there. You know, all your friends like it. You know, they like that cafe. The guys that don't like the cafe, they're at the other one across the street. They got a different philosophy, right? You know, does that make sense? You know.
Yeah.
All right. And striking things is that we are coming to a conclusion. I mean. The thesis, right?
Yeah. No, it's a conclusion.
And
a conclusion of no conclusion.
And every bhakta in the beginning, coming from a hippie background, was saying that as the first line, right?
Yes.
I'm a servant of God. It's like,
yes,
how means, expert that is.
Because right? they are speaking the actual thesis. So therefore it works. Everybody can relate to it. As soon as you start to take things farther down, it'll work in that group, but not in another group. You know, so then that's where it's you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, like the yoga preaching works in the yoga place, but it doesn't work somewhere else. Right? Something else works there, because then you're dealing with the particular kind of conditioning. Right? So all it is a matter of what medium through which you speak the philosophy. Does that make sense?
And the goal would be just to get the preaching going, not to get involved with those bodies.
No, because it's a medium. It's not what you want. You know, it's like it's only to get, it's to deliver something. You know what I'm saying? You have a box, you want to deliver it. The box is not the real important thing. What's important is what's in the box, right? It means, but the point is for the person to relate, you have to have a box. So they can relate to that kind of box, because they relate to that kind of box, they're interested in what's in the box. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, it's just like, let's say I bring a nice box, okay? You know, really, really nicely made, nice and shiny, like that. It's black, you know, and it's got all kinds of skulls and weird things on it, okay? Like that. Grandma doesn't like it. She doesn't even want to touch the box, right? But the teenage kid really likes the box. You know, they want to know what's in this box. Grandma doesn't want to know what's in the box. Right? Does that make sense? Unless grandma's name is Crowley. Then she wants to know what's in the box. Right? You know. Then there's every chance the teenager does not want to know what's in the box. Right? Yeah. Then they open the box and they pull out Horatio's skull. Right? And then grandma starts giving the lines from Macbeth. Yeah, yes. Okay. Okay. In this way, time, place, and circumstance combine to create a great variety of natures. So when devotees sometimes say, no, but it's time, place, and circumstance, they mean the time, place, and circumstance and the mundane qualities that I identify with and view the world through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rather than I'm applying transcendence to time, place, and circumstance. You know, I want time, place, and circumstance to be the basis of the actual, you know, how you say, a thesis. Right, so that's different. Mm.
Yeah.
Firstly, the souls. Firstly, the souls come in contact with matter in different ways. Those different kinds of contact bring one set of variations of nature. Secondly, their different countries, languages, families, and other circumstances bring another set of various nature. Variations of nature. In this way, a great variety of natures becomes multiplied. In other words, there's a general concept, then within that, then there's specifics. Right? You may be born in a particular planetary system, right? So then, you know, for example, here, then, you know, a particular country. Then within the country, a particular area. Within the area, then a particular, you know, region. Within that, a particular neighborhood. Within that, a particular, you know, does that make sense? So it gets finer and finer, like that. Yes?
The souls coming in contact with matter, does this also speak about the different varnas? Like you'll find a kshatriya in this country, a kshatriya in that country, a kshatriya...
Yeah, it can apply that. I think because he's doing it socially, he's not using those terms. He's trying to keep it... Because the point is people, when they deal with their philosophies, are going to do that. But of course, that's going to come in, like that. But it also means is that different kinds of contact, one set of variations of natures that he has an interest, and that's what he's come into contact with, material energy from that general area. Then you have to actually, that has to be manifest, so then you're born into a particular place. That will give the details. Right? Does that make sense? And so that'll be based on previous also. So your previous lifestyle, that will determine where you're actually qualified to be born into. Right? So, only a person who has traveled to every country, learned every language, and studied every country's history can understand the scope of that variety.
Good luck.
Yeah. Well, that also makes it interesting, is because those who haven't traveled then have less of a scope sometimes. You know, interesting, right? In other words, if you're from a smaller country, you know, across the street's another country in another language, generally they have a little bit broader accommodation, you know, than a country where you can drive for days and then, you know, maximum what will happen is you'll fall into the ocean, right? You know, so...
The former category tends to come up with concepts like axis of evil.
Yes. Or the New World Order. Or if they're more, you know, how you say that, pseudo-setva, then we are the world. Yeah. Okay. Here I will only point in the direction of that variety, right? He's not going to get in detail. He's only going to give indication that this is the cause for it.
Yeah.
Because the point is that you're going to have, in each place, you're going to have the same kind of element. Just for an example. You take kind of a general principle that those who are in the north of a country are a little bit generally more formal than the people in the south of the country. Right? Does that make sense? But then when you cross the southern border of that country, you're in the north of the next country. And so then the same thing applies. But they may be, in general, a little bit more less formal than the one above. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, so once you cross the what do you call it? The equator, then it kind of goes the other way. Right? You know? Like that, you know, like the Argentinians, they're more formal and consider themselves more sophisticated than farther north, right? Yes.
The closer you get to the North Pole, I think it changes too. The Eskimos are not.
Oh, yeah, but probably within their groups, ones that are, you know, they're more formal. No, the thing is I'm just saying it's a general thing. You know, that you notice that. So that's interesting. So therefore, all these different kinds of philosophies and that will apply everywhere. Because everywhere we'll have a situation where the modes of nature are such that that one can come up. But at the same time, because it is in that particular locale and that, it will have a certain flavor that, let's say, the same thing coming up in another country. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Those differences in flavors, is that specific combinations of three modes?
Yes. I was going to say, just Australia, it's also, the south is more, you know, like that. Then when it goes to
England,
north.
England is also kind of upside down, isn't it? The Scots, I mean, they're not...
No, but that's a different country.
Yeah, okay.
You have to understand. England has decided they're one country, but you talk to them, then they have a different idea.
That's true. But still, Liverpool is not exactly known as formal or compared to London.
But they're more closed, in their little box. And if you don't quite fit into their box, then they got their bobber boots to work it out.
That's definitely
right. You know, so that's kind of thing. Then you cross into England. Yeah, okay, that's but that's farther north, right? Your mother can sew that up. You know. Your mother knows how to sew.
That's
okay. Here I will only point in the direction of that variety. I will not do more. It would be a great trouble. Right? Because otherwise it's just too much there to try to explain all. Because that's not the importance. What he's not trying to explain here is all that detail. What he's trying to explain is the philosophies and their origin, how they come up. Right? So there's six main ones. From that, then there's going to be all these other varieties. He's going to show major elements that basically they have a major influence within the world. Right? But he's not going to get into the detail of each and every, because that's just, it's just too much. Okay, footnote 6. Thus, people in India give respect to the rishis. And this is coming from?
This is Chaitanya Shikshamrita.
Oh, okay. Because it doesn't mention, unless it keeps going on the next page? No.
No, it's going on the mission.
Yeah, no, you should put that. Yeah. You just mentioned that. Thus, people in India give respect to the rishis. In other countries, they respect prophets like Muhammad. In other countries, they respect Christ. And in other places, the inhabitants give respect to various native sages. It is imperative that the people of the country give proper respect to the native saints. But no one, though he made hold his particular belief to benefit his own progress, should go on to other places and preach that what his teachers have taught is superior to all other teachings. This gives no benefit at all to the world. And then this is still within the Chaitanya Shikshamrita? This is what this is his evidence. Okay. The devotee should not worship demigods, nor should he disrespect them. Similarly, a devotee should not study or criticize other scriptures. Right? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 22.1.16. One should have firm faith that he will achieve all success in life by following those scriptures that describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, one should avoid blaspheming other scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.26. Because there's a benefit to the local person following that. There is an elevation, there's acceptance of authority, there's acceptance of restrictions. These are all basic fundamental principles. Just the connection with the Lord may or may not be very strong. But the principles that it's based on, that's good. Like that. However, one should consider the following point. Though it is worthless to criticize the difference in religious systems, if one sees a fault, one should not tolerate it. It is beneficial for the living entities if one attempts to correct the fault in the proper way. Thus, Mahaprabhu, in discussing with Buddhists, Jains, and impersonalists, led them to the proper path. Right? In other words, it's what is there that's correct is actually a element from the actual Vaishnava philosophy. Right? Means the philosophy coming down from, you know, the first opinion. Right? Those are the spiritual world. Where there's a fault, that's an opinion of the material world. That should be corrected and brought in line with the spiritual world. Right? So then if you discuss that, remove the fault in any philosophy in any religion, you'll end up with the same philosophy of those from the spiritual world. So that's why ultimately it'll come out looking the same. So one say, oh, so then he can remain a Buddhist and just do his Buddhist stuff. Yes, but the same time is that the point is what is going to be his practice, right? Because the point is he's trying to understand the Lord, but the Lord is a person. So what's staring at a wall for 7 hours going to do? You know what I'm saying? So that therefore it's going to adjust how these things are going to work. Like that. Does that make sense? Because that's a fault. Why would staring at a wall attract God? You know, God's going to come along. What are they all looking at?
Yeah, what's going on?
You know, not touch the wall. No, it looks pretty ordinary to me.
God could have some fun with them, doing stuff with the wall.
On the wall.
Well, I've been standing here for too long.
Maybe too much yak butter in the tea. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya should always take the Lord's behavior as the proper example to follow. The devotee does not... So, in other words, how the Lord preached, that's how we do. Right? So you'd see, he would do it very nicely, but at the same time, he means something's wrong, he would correct it. It didn't mean that it didn't make them upset, right? The Buddhists, they did try to harm him. But the thing is when they brought an offering to do that, then that eagle came and took it and then, you know, dropped the plate on their head, right? You know, so these things are, it doesn't mean that people don't get upset. You try to do it nicely so they don't, but you're dealing with the modes of nature. So, you know, it happens, right? The devotee does not accept those religions which are filled with atheism, skepticism, materialism, pantheism, and impersonalism as real religions. He knows them to be false religions, anti-religious movements, perverted religions, and he understands that their followers are unfortunate. The devotees must try to protect the living entities from these false religions. Okay, from Bhagavatam. There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion. Religious principles for which one is unfit, pretentious religion, analogical religion, and cheating religion. One who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. Religious principles that obstruct one from following his own religion are called vidharma. Religious principles introduced by others are called paradharma. A new type of religion created by one who is falsely pruned and who opposes the principles of the Vedas is called upadharma. Falsely pruned means the night before he didn't actually eat prunes, and so he ate something else. So he was falsely pruned, or he got a bad haircut. Okay. Who is falsely... Probably have to look in the original and see what it is.
Proud?
Huh?
Proud?
Falsely proud. Okay, yeah, falsely proud. Good work. Pruned is more fun. And who opposed the principles of the Vedas called upadharma. And interpretation by one's juggly of words is called chaladharma. Right? That was cheating religion. Right? In other words, somebody says something. You're trying to say something establishing, you know, the proper thing. They take the word and twist it. So you mean this, you know? Mm. You know, so we should be intelligent now. Oh, so you're saying I'm an intelligent? Mm. You know, that's chaladharma. It's nothing to do with the conversation. All it is they're taking words and twisting them around, and in this way trying to win the argument, right?
Well, I could prune in this sense. When you prune a tree, you can make any form you like, an elephant from a tree, or...
So falsely pruned, what would be the shape?
Not to the original shape of the original itself.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably not pruned. A pretentious religious system manufactured by one who willfully neglects the prescribed duties of his order of life is called abhasa. But if one performs the prescribed duties of his particular ashram or varna, why are they not sufficient to mitigate all material distress? Srimad Bhagavatam 7:15-12-14. Right. In other words, if you perform the prescribed duties that is there for your varna and ashram, why wouldn't that be sufficient? Why turn to all these others? Mm-hmm. People who are opposed to the Vedic principles, you know, something that they come up with, someone who simply twists words that they come up with, somebody who's suggesting religions that aren't your religion. You know, in other words, you have a varna and ashram, you do that. They're suggesting you do someone else's. So then that's paradharma. Right. Yeah, and then things that you obstruct you from doing your dharma. You know, so all these things. So his point is Krishna is just making it, just follow the ones that work for you. Because these are the ones God-given rules. You follow them, it works. Right?
Laura, does this mainly apply to, if there was a functioning... a spiritual, like a Vedic society, like
rather than at the temple, there's people from all different Varnas, but they're all doing deity worship and that sort of stuff. So
no, but they're doing deity worship based on the nature of the soul.
Okay, so activities done in, like spiritual activities done as part of service in the temple is different.
Yeah. It just means that, you know, like saying is that, you know, the soul is pure, what has it got to do with the body, so therefore I don't have to take a bath and change clothes before doing puja. You know, but the point is that the clothes are dirty, you know, and that's what's involved with the Lord. The Lord, you know, the soul may smell nice, you know, but the clothes don't, you know, so therefore, you know what I'm saying? So they may bring in ideas of what to do, not to do, it doesn't matter, this, that. It's just, the Vedas just say how the world works, because it's the world is an expansion of, it means his energies expanded and made the world. They're going to work on the same function as the Lord does, right? The same principles. So the Lord speaks the Vedas, so the Veda is simply saying how the world works and how to use it for knowing the Lord. Does that make sense? But if we try to make up our own, change things around, this and that. So it's just saying, you do your natural duties, and things will go nicely here. Because the real natural duty is doing whatever is your conditioning connected to Krishna. But if we leave Krishna out of it, it's a problem. Or if we try to, we mess with the actual nature, it's a problem.
Yeah, but there are duties according to each varna, right?
I mean, certain duties are there because means the varna is the, the occupational duty.
Yeah.
But they don't change in the ashram duty. You know what I'm saying? There's not Shudra ashram dharma. There's only Brahminical ashram dharma.
Okay,
Does that make sense?
Because everyone's doing very, very equal duties.
Yes. In ashram, everybody's doing that. But in Varna, they're not.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So the Shudra, by occupation, in the temple, may be doing puja.
Yeah.
Because that's his ashram. It's part of his sadhana. It's part of his worship of the Lord. But when he goes to work, he's the Shudra. And then the boss, who's a Vaishya, tells him what to do. You know? Like that, because that's in Varna.
Yeah.
You know? Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. So, and you. Om
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Chaitanya Gaura Prema
ki
One devotee was asking me if there's a particular astrologer you use here at the Gurukul. After Devarshi left, he's looking for an astrologer.
Is he from South Africa?
Yes.
They already asked him.
Okay.
When did they ask you?
2 days ago, I think.
Today is Monday.
Yeah.
So I told them yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So you've done your duty.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you.